Chapter 63. Orlin. Orlin found himself whistling. As he went about closing up his quaint shop on the northwest side of the River Street promenade, the sun had found its resting place a few hours ago, and his stomach had been arguing with him about the proper time for feeding, when Sorna Blaudel finished paying for her small bag of Dorak root. With a lingering smile, she offered her final goodbyes. "Will I be seeing you at performance night next week, Orlin?"
"Well, I don't know. That could be a likely possibility."
Orlin hadn't been blessed with the gift of knowing what to say to a woman as persistent as Sorna. He tended to get tongue-tied. He didn't know why. He never had a problem talking with Reloria or Neela or any of the other women on the Wielder Council, apart from Shiva, of course, whom everyone had trouble communicating with. Although the white-haired assassin did seem to respond well to Kellen, but then again, Orlin had yet to meet a person who Kellen couldn't connect with. Sorna had been after Orlin for over 20 years. Her husband had been killed in a milling accident some 26 years back. With all the coin she'd spent at Orlin's shop trying to garner his attention, she could have rightly managed to open her own. Having never married himself, Orlin had always used the excuse that he just didn't have the time to be worrying about raising some other man's brood. But now that the last of her 7 children had left the nest, he was quickly running out of excuses. To be honest, he'd always been afraid that her children would reject having another man take over their father's place, and with that many in the household, it would have been very hard to compete for attention. "I will save you a seat in case you change your mind," she said with a wink, as she closed the door behind her. Realizing he was just standing there in the middle of the shop with a stupid grin on his face, he shook his head.
"You old fool."
He locked the door and hung the closed sign in the window before pulling down the curtain.
"Good night and sweet dreams, my beauties," he said as he turned back to the plants lining the rows of his homemade shelving.
With a whistle, he set about stowing the glass jars and refilling their contents from the canisters he kept in the bag. The front bell of his shop rang out with the announcement of a new customer.
"I thought I just locked that."
"Too bad they don't make an herb for being old and senile."
"We're closed,"
Orlin called from the back of the shop. When no answer came, he shrugged and finished screwing the cork back on a bottle of burdock. With winter coming, he was sure to need a hefty supply for the overabundance of sore throats. Lifting himself from where he had been kneeling, Orlin walked back out to the front and nearly tripped on his own feet when he realized there was someone leaning against the next shelf over.
"Oh," he said, grabbing his chest, "you startled me."
Orlin wondered why the man hadn't let his presence be known when he had called out earlier. The stranger had a tall build, not as tall as Orlin, but broader in the shoulders. The man left off his perusing to turn and look at Orlin.
"Are you the apothecary?"
Orlin thought that a rather strange question to ask while standing in the middle of an apothecary's shop.
"My name is Orlin. Can I help you with something?"
"Yes, I believe you can."
The man's smile matched his hair, greasy with a slick edge. There was something in his eyes that gave a dangerous impression.
"As I said earlier, I'm closed for the day."
Orlin did his best to think of an excuse to get the man to leave.
"Can your business wait till the morrow?" "Afraid not,"
the man said, taking a step forward. Orlin, being made nervous by the situation, started easing his way back toward the storage room, where he had laid his staff just inside the doorway.
"Well, unless this is an emergency, I'm going to have to ask you to leave."
He took another 2 steps. The man smiled again.
Where are you going? I just need to get something from the back. Something like this.
The man reached behind the shelving unit he had been leaning against and pulled out Orland's staff. Orland froze. How did he get that? No longer caring about hiding his intentions, Orland started backing toward the storage room. He kept his eye on the man holding his staff.
The slick-haired intruder rushed him.
Anticipating the move, Orland grabbed hold of the nearest set of standing shelves and, with all his might, heaved them to the side, hoping to collapse them on top of his pursuer. The man was too light on his feet. He managed to dive and roll out of the way just as the shelves hit the ground. Orland made a dash for the back room, but ran straight into a second robed intruder. Before he could come to a complete stop, the man raised his hand and blew some kind of powder in his face.
Orland staggered backwards. Ah, chicken stink!
He recognized the pungent smell of liniment in the air as his knees buckled and everything went black. Orland's eyes snapped open, and he let out a startled yelp as a wave of cold water struck him hard across the face. The sudden sensation pulled him from his drug-induced state. He was nauseous. His stomach took over, and he dry-heaved. Orland felt like he'd received a few good kicks to the gut, but figured it was merely a side effect of whatever potion they had blown in his face. There was a funny taste in his mouth. Moving his tongue, he realized he had been gagged.
He's awake, missus.
The room might have been dark, but Orland could still see the white cloak of a Black Watch guard standing there, holding an upturned pail. He shook his head, trying to rid himself of the remaining water dripping from his beard, bangs, and thick brows. He tried to move, but found he couldn't. It didn't take long to see he had been tied to his chair. His ankles were bound to the front legs, and his arms had been tied off behind. Glancing around the dark room, Orland tried to gain his bearings. From what he could see by the light of the torch being held by one of the guards, he appeared to be in one of the Sidaran barracks. There were simple panel boards lining the floor and walls, cots down both sides, and between each empty bed were walled racks for easy access to weapons. Unfortunately, they happened to be empty. Not that he could have done anything about it had they been fully stocked. There were a few hushed whispers coming from the darker recesses ahead, and the foul scent of dark magic permeated the air. Whatever was going on had obviously been well planned. From out of the shadows, a dark figure shuffled forward, completely cloaked by a long black robe.
Is this him?
The woman's voice from under her cowl sounded to be at least 100 years old. Orland strained to catch a glimpse of the face beneath, but it was useless. He could barely see 3 paces in front of his chair. Besides, there wasn't much point in trying. He knew exactly who this was, and he wasn't about to give her what she wanted.
That's him,
he heard another woman reply from somewhere off to his right. The second woman, whoever she was evidently afraid. Her voice shook as she spoke.
He used his magic plants to try to seduce me.
A couple of the guards chuckled.
You just ask Fortunia if he didn't. She'll tell you I speak the truth.
Orland was aghast. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. If he hadn't been so tightly bound, he'd have wrung Helene's skinny neck.
If I had stayed in his shop a moment longer, she continued, I shudder to think what might have happened to my womanly virtue.
From the look of you, one of the guards cut in, not much.
The other guards broke into laughter, while Helene broke down into an unconvincing fit of sobs. Orland sat there in shock. He was being sold out to the White Tower because two old busybodies who had been startled by a simple plant.
I'm just doing my duty as an upstanding citizen of East Haven.
Orlan could almost hear the stiffness in Helene's voice. He could picture her chin held high as she tried to justify her actions.
Of course you are, my dear.
Using her cane for support, the black-robed individual turned to look at Helene.
I'm through with her.
Just when Orlan thought Helene could stoop no lower, she opened her mouth again.
Do I collect some sort of compensation for this?
Compensation?
You know, reward.
Of course, my dear. You will be well taken care of.
What do we do with her? The guard with the now empty bucket asked.
We can't have her or her friend running their mouths in town. Put them both with the others. They'll make fine washerwomen for the tower. Blood is so difficult to get out of white, you know.
Helene let out an ear-piercing shrill.
No! You can't do this, she cried. Do you know who I am? Who my husband is? I'm the one who told you about the apothecary.
Yes, you have proven to have surprisingly loose lips, your ladyship. I'm sure the Inquisitors will find plenty of ways to make use of them as they torture you for information. I'm sure there's an ample supply of wielders here you'll be willing to expose before they are done with you.
Orlan heard a loud thump on the floor. From the sound of it, Helene had passed out, and no one had bothered to catch her.
Poor Helene.
Orlan was sure the horror of her situation had only just begun to take hold. The irony of it all was that, had he not been gagged, he might have joined the others in their riotous laughter. If he was to be taken to the White Tower, it was indeed a comfort to know he would be keeping such fine company as her ladyship. He could hear the heels of Helene's shoes scraping across the floor as they dragged her body, along with a surprisingly silent Fetunia, out the door and shut it behind them.
Tell me about the boy.
Orlan could just make out the tip of her nose from beneath her hood. He tried to say something, but the gag prevented it from coming out. The witch stepped forward and, reaching out with one of the most withered hands Orlan had ever seen, pulled out the gag.
Oh, much better, he said as he worked his tongue around in his mouth, trying to draw saliva.
Tell me about the boy.
Boy? What boy?
Orlan held a look of stunned ignorance.
As it happens, I have no children. My poor Nora, creator rest her soul, was barren. Nope, not a single child to my name.
He let his shoulders sag for effect. Her withered hand rose, and with a single finger she slid a curved nail down the side of his face.
What a shame. And from such a fine specimen as yourself.
Ain't it so? I'm sure I would have sired quite a resplendent breed.
Stepping back, she removed her hood and gave him a clear look at her face.
I hope she's not volunteering.
Don't make me ask again. I would hate to ruin such handsome features.
She smiled and playfully tugged on his beard. Her ring snagged on his long whiskers, and he yelped. The ring was in the shape of a spider. Its eight legs were wrapped around her finger, and a crystal for its belly. The stone pulsed a deep red, giving Orlan a clear indication that he was in the presence of a wielder, and a powerful one at that.
Madam, If I knew what boy you were referring to, I might better be able to answer your rather vague question.
Orlin knew where this was heading already, and as a member of the council, he was sworn to protect Ty's identity at all costs. The old hag shuffled a little closer, and with speed he had not anticipated from someone so decrepit, her arm shot out and she grabbed his throat. Her nails dug into his flesh.
I'm talking about the woodsman's youngest son.
Orlin gulped, not so much at the pressure of her vice-like grip around his exposed throat, but at the fact that she somehow already knew who Ty was. His mind raced as he tried to question whether she knew this for a fact or was merely trying to wiggle a definitive answer out of him.
Oh, that child, he said, his voice pinched from her grip. Yes, well, very spirited young lad, although not quite all there upstairs, if you know what I mean.
Orlin couldn't think of what else to say to try throwing her off track. He could apologize to Ty later. Mangora released her grip and smiled.
I applaud your efforts, apothecary. Your loyalty is touching.
She took a step back and paced in front of his chair.
With a city the size of Easthaven, I'm sure your wielder council is formed of nearly every Vanay within the surrounding community. And, being a prominent business owner, there is no doubt about your awareness of and activity within such an assembly. Also, knowing Nialis the way I do, he would not have left the child with just anyone. He would have made sure he was protected.
Orlin shook his head and chuckled.
Madam, if you have mistakenly taken me for some wielder of magic on the word of a chinwagger like Helene Tunsfield, who would sell out her own family if she thought it would better her standing in the community, then you have been a sad dupe of an even sadder woman. I assure you, I am no wielder. There has been a grave misunderstanding here.
Orlin struggled with his bindings.
Now, if you were to release me, I would be more than willing to keep this whole miscarriage of justice to myself.
The old crone's laugh, if indeed he could call it a laugh, sent a tingling feeling of dread up his legs.
You're a very convincing liar, my dear apothecary. But you forget, I've seen your staff.
The fake smile on Orlin's face fell, along with his last remaining hope.
Now, tell me of the boy. Has he reached his full potential? Does he even know who he is?
Mangora clearly already knew who Ty was, and his continued denial wasn't going to get him anywhere. So he decided to drop the pretense and try a more forward tactic.
Of course he knows who he is, and he's more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Why, he could kill you with just one look from his left eye.
Orlin held as serious a gaze as he could muster under the ridiculousness of what he had just said, hoping that maybe it would put enough fear into the old bat to give a second thought about going after him. Mangora held her smile.
Not quite the impression I got after he ran screaming from my shop like a frightened girl lost in the woods on dark winter's eve.
Orlin's stony gaze wilted, leaving behind something more akin to a sad smirk.
Yep, that sounds like Ty, all right, he admitted with a sigh of pity.
So, let's start again, shall we?
The sorceress said, as she rounded the back of his chair. Her cane tapped the floorboards in front of her. Orlin could feel her hot breath against the side of his face as she leaned in to whisper in his ear,
"Don't you worry that handsome head of yours. We're going to have plenty of time to get better acquainted." Orlin moaned,
"Lucky me."